Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'm in an office today, a well-appointed office that appears to belong to a man of God. There's books all over the place, resources all over the place, and this particular man of God happens to be a slightly darker hue than myself, which can only mean one thing, that it's black and white black day and once white. Again on the Steve Noble Show.
I am dark and you are light.
You are blind as a bat, then I have sight. Side by side, you are my amigo, Negro.
See your true colors, that's why I love
you. You are equal.
Color.
Well, there you go. I think that little theme music tends to offend a few people here and there. I don't think it offends my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
It is an honor to be on the show. It's good to see you. It's good to be back. And it doesn't offend me at all. In fact, I enjoy it. And I think one of the beautiful things about the theme and this time that we spend together is that it's an open, honest talk about things that people don't like to talk about.
Yeah, we tend to stray into that lane on a pretty regular regular basis. We've got a lot of people in new markets that we weren't on the last time. We're in Indianapolis now, and we're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're in Asheville, North Carolina, and also in Kansas City. So Bishop Wooden and I have been friends all the way back to 2004 when Called to Action, which was the Christian activist ministry that kind of started this whole thing, got started. Actually, we were with some friends just the other night. Downtown Raleigh, walked right in front of the Raleigh City Council chambers. And I told them this is where it all started that day. And that's the day I met Bishop Wooden. And you had told somebody you were going to bring some folks with you. And little did I know that when Bishop Wooden says he's going to bring some folks with him from the church, well, he brings some folks. And that's when our relationship started. So that goes all the way back. That goes back a while, so it's been a great blessing and a great friendship, and you are my brother, and it's always so good to be with you.
Well, I love you, man, and your family and the work that you do. I'll never forget my initial thought. I said, who is this white guy with all of this bluster, this talk? I got to meet this man because I like him. This guy knows no fear, and what a relationship it has been, and the things that we've seen and the battles that we've engaged in, not against each other, together, and won.
Amen.
For the glory of God. Amen. And for the promotion of the kingdom of God.
Amen. Exactly right. And so we've got several things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Confederate statues and monuments. We're going to talk about Republicans and their ongoing funding of Planned Parenthood. On that note, we're going to talk about what God has been doing through the Upper Room here in Raleigh, North Carolina, in terms of battling back the abortion providers at a specific abortion clinic. We're going to talk about that. But let's start with our president, Donald Trump, who has an unusually high approval rating amongst the African American community, up to 36% now. That's an Rasmussen poll. He only won 8% of the African American vote.
Yep.
A year ago, he was at about 19%. Now he's at 36%. So how do you explain? Is the African American community just out of touch with reality, Bishop Wooden? Because I thought he was like one of the biggest proponents of racism, yet he's got a 36% approval rating amongst, quote unquote, your people.
Well, I think that what's happening is the African-American community is actually in tuning or touching or becoming a part of reality. The media blasted this guy. Most African-Americans know that before Donald Trump ran for the office of the presidency, rappers loved him, blacks loved him, people loved him. And, you know, Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump becomes this great racist. But when you look at his policies, what's happening in the community, nothing blesses a person like a job, an opportunity.
Yeah.
People are turning a deaf ear to MSNBC, CNN, and all of the outlets that they just simply pummel Donald Trump every night, every day, constantly call him a racist. He hates blacks. He hates this group. He hates that group. And yet this phenomenon is taking place. 36% approval rating. I think that is amazing. In less than 700 days in office, from 8% when he was initially
8%
voted
of the vote.
Into office.
Right.
So I call it a revival. And for me personally, you know, I think it's good because I do not believe that any group of people in this country should vote 90% of the time one way.
Yeah.
And in other communities, Asians, Hispanics, whites, you name it, everyone else is allowed to be a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, and their credibility not be questioned. Only with the African-American community is this, you got to show me your black card if you're not a Democrat.
Right.
Who have suffered for this have been the African-American community. President Trump asks for our vote. And jobs that are coming back are jobs that his predecessor actually said those jobs would not return. And President Obama did say,
yeah,
what is President Trump going to do? Wave a magic wand,
right,
to bring,
right,
the job.
Saw that
back.
Quote again today.
Yes, sir. So apparently, it's not a magic wand; it's a pen and policies that is causing even the common man,
yeah,
to get jobs and for their lives to be improved. He's making America great again for everybody.
Yeah, and so you've, yeah, got the lowest unemployment rate amongst the African-American community since the mid-1970s.
Yes, sir.
You've got the labor participation rate is at a new all-time high. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, the consumer price index set a record, so people are feeling that and,
yep,
believing in,
yep,
it.
Yep.
And then you've got the unemployment rate amongst a bunch of different other groups is also doing great. So whether you like his blustery commentary or not, whether you like sometimes that, I think sometimes he stretches the truth and,
yes,
he just kind of,
yes,
you know, the guy has very little control, if any at all, of his mouth.
Right.
But you got to deal with the numbers and you got to deal with the results.
And also in understanding Donald Trump, most people understood when we voted for him that this guy's not pure. And one of the things he's not a pure politician.
Yeah.
He was not raised to be a politician.
No.
But he is an awesome businessman and he's doing a good job.
Yeah, tough negotiator. Yep. We're seeing that come to play as well. It is Black and White Day on the Steve Noble Show here with my slightly older brother from another mother.
Slightly.
Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. A lot to talk about. We'll get to Confederate monuments, Planned Parenthood, all kinds of good stuff when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show with my good friend, the Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. We affectionately call this day when we get a chance to do radio. It's not as often as we would like, but we need to work on that.
Yes, sir.
We call it Black and White Day, and Bishop Wooden and I are very good friends. We're brothers in Christ. That comes before everything else.
Amen.
And our upbringing isn't the same. I was born into pretty decent circumstances, and you were born in some challenging circumstances.
Very challenging.
And you're kind of rural South. I've grown up mostly in suburban areas, and yet the bond of Christ between us kind of gets us past all of that. And I don't think, even from day one, that was never an issue.
No.
It just wasn't.
No, no.
And
no.
Just praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, we come from where we come from. And I thank God for my heritage. I thank the Lord for my upbringing. Thank God for a good, loving mother who raised four boys, and she did a super job. By the way, tomorrow's her 83rd birthday.
Amazing.
I'm spending the day with her. She loves Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
I'm proud of her, and I'm proud of my country. And so when I met you, I didn't meet you with anger or thinking, well, he's had all of the advantages, I've had all of the disadvantages. Actually, I think being born in America gives you an edge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've won life's lottery just being born here with the challenges that exist. And you know what, Steve? No one's life is without challenge.
No, that's exactly right.
Not yours, not mine, no one.
And when people start to raise the race flag, and we're going to talk about Confederate statues and monuments here in a second, which is easy, and you know, I don't ignore the past. I also tread softly because I realize despite my good intentions, I am incapable of having your perspective because I'll never be a black man.
Right.
And so what it means from the past and what slavery means from the past and America's history with that and segregation and desegregation and the civil rights movement and the Jim Crow laws, I think the danger for a lot of white people is to casually brush that off as,
right.
Hey, that was the past. I wasn't responsible for that. I wasn't even alive. I didn't own slaves. Why are you putting that all on me? And I think when we kind of dig in quickly like that, I used to be like that. I'm not anymore. I'm much more willing to listen
and
realize that this is a very complicated subject for most people. And it requires complicated discussions, and it's going to take time to do better. You can't solve it with a bumper sticker or a saying or one meeting.
I agree. My thoughts on the Confederate flags, the statues are mixed, because on one hand, I do not think they should be celebrated. Okay, I don't think that they should be on display where we all look to them with hope and grandeur, and we're saying to ourselves, the South is going to rise again. However, I don't think that that's the way people view them. I think that the past is what it is. And one of the things that helps me feel good about myself and people who look like me is, despite these people, these monuments erected to these people, look how far we've come.
Yeah.
Look at the opportunities that exist for people who will take advantage of them. And if there is no past, if we do away with all of the monuments and we just tear them all down, does that not then cheapen the monuments of Dr. King, the monuments of the civil rights leaders?
Because you lose the contrast.
Exactly.
Is that your point?
You use the contrast and the context.
Yeah.
Because now they've overcome nothing. When what King did was extraordinary. What other civil rights leaders did was extraordinary. Now, if someone is arguing for taking the monuments and putting them in a particular place, in a museum or on a display, I'm not against that. I think that's a good thing to do. But I am against trying to rewrite America's history, because the history is what it is. And part of what makes me a proud American and a taxpayer is that, with the history being what it is, look at what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
And look at where we are today.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And so the monuments, we're behaving as though the monuments all of a sudden started talking. and the horses began to ride.
They've been around for a while.
Exactly.
And, of course, in the context where we are now, anybody can be a star.
Right.
And so whenever anything goes down, you know there's going to be 50 or 100 people with their smartphones immediately doing it. So now everybody's got a platform.
Yes.
20 years ago, almost nobody had a platform. And so that kind of breeds the worst out of humankind and our depravity and our sin. And I think that's a valid point. Last week, and you'll appreciate this, I do this probably 4 or 5 times a year. Last week, I opened up the phones to take calls specifically about Confederate monuments and statues. And I said, black callers only. If you're white, you're not getting through. We're not taking your call if you're white, because I didn't want to hear. I literally did not want to hear from white people. I wanted to give my African-American friends on the radio a free opportunity on the air to share exactly what they thought and what they felt. Because I want to, whether people stay tuned in or not is not my problem. But I wanted to force my white friends that were staying tuned in to just listen.
Just listen.
Just listen and hopefully consider other perspectives. And we had people that said, you know, they're all terrible. It should be taken down. Other people said lawlessness is never you can't excuse lawlessness. And other people said the museum thing, that I'd like to see them in the museum. And they're like scars.
Right.
And I think that's a great point that you make, that by leaving them up, it reminds you of where we have been and hopefully would create in you a little bit of appreciation for where we've come to.
Yes, sir. Now, I'll tell you, when you're on 95 and you're going down toward Fayetteville in the Dunn area, there's a huge Confederate flag.
Huge Confederate flag.
Oh, now, when I first saw that, I almost ran off the road. And it, as an African-American, does it put a bad feeling in me? It does. I think that it's designed to do just that. and to invoke fear and horror.
Sure.
And here's what it tells me. Make sure you don't break down in front of that. Keep going. You
know? Yeah, keep going.
Don't go to that guy's house for help in the middle of the night or at day during the day because the person is telling you how they feel about you. But I wouldn't go out and vandalize his pole.
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't go on his property and try to pull it down. I respect his right to erect it. I hate it. I think it's a silly thing to do. And it reminds me that I beat him.
That's a great point.
I beat him because he would never think that someone like me should or would be doing as well as right. I am in the same America that he's in.
Yeah.
And I wonder if his children are faring as well as I am, who are my age, if he has them at
right,
all.
Right.
So I use things like this as a... It's a reason why I'm not going to get in trouble with the law, not going to do drugs, not going to break the law, I don't want to make the news as being a criminal. I'm going to treat people with respect because I never want to be fodder for these people.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to be the poster boy for those who say the Klan is good or the alt-right, we don't need blacks, we don't need black people. Okay, well, I don't ever want to be propaganda for them.
What a great point.
So I hope those who are listening that it inspires us to raise our kids to behave in such a manner where we take advantage, the best revenge, the best statement. It's not to pull the statues down, to vandalize property, because once we begin to endorse lawlessness, and it's all right as long as it's someone we don't like, something that we think is racist, we're setting ourselves up for anarchy.
Anarchy.
And no one can survive anarchy, especially 13% of the population.
That's exactly right. That's a great point. And when I drive by that same flag going down 995 headed south, I just think he's an ignorant redneck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I think. And I go, is he a racist? I know there's a pretty good chance that he is, but one thing I know he is an ignorant redneck. And that's just it. We'll be right back. Want to join us by video? We're live right now on Facebook Live. You can jump in there. Just go to your Facebook feed, which odds are pretty good that you're looking at it already. You're probably flying through your feed look because you're bored and you're addicted, which happens to all of us. And so you can just put in the search box the Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and join us there. Like the page, but we do Facebook Live just about every day in the office of my slightly older brother from another mother. Because you're how old are you now?
I am.
Am I allowed to ask that question?
Oh, yeah.
57.
57 years of age. I thank God for every day.
Amen. And I'm 52. That's why we say he's my slightly older brother from another mother.
Yeah.
And we've Black and White Day is what we call this. We've been doing these off and on for several years now. We've been friends, dear friends, since 2004.
Sir.
So it's been, can you believe that?
Yeah,
14
man.
Years. That's amazing.
Seems like it was the other day.
Seems like it was the other day. So we
and
get
that's
on here.
That's a good thing.
That's
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah.
And we talk about, and we always pick some issues that are going to be a little spicy from a black-white perspective.
Yeah.
And because we love each other and we love the Lord and we love the truth, we go down these roads not worried about what other people might think of our conversation. But I think most people appreciate, and I'm trying to remember, did you meet Jay McMichael? He came to our called to worship event 2 years ago, not last year when we were at your church, but the year before that, when you and I were on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay is the senior cameraman with CNN. And he's been there for 33 years.
Super guy.
Super guy.
Yes.
And he was talking about, I have never seen a black guy and a white guy speak with as much candor about issues and with each other as I saw you guys. And this is a guy that's been around CNN for years.
And we weren't arguing.
Yeah.
We weren't fighting each other.
We weren't fighting each other. And we don't, and by the way, we don't agree on everything. There are certain things that we've talked about here and there where we don't see eye to eye, but that's fine. And, you know, it's, what's the proverb about sharpening one another?
Iron sharpeneth iron.
Iron sharpening iron. Right. And so that's where we're willing to talk and listen. And we've learned things from each other. And and just on the topic, and we're going to dive into Planned Parenthood and abortion in general. But I remember several years ago, you know, it's easy for me to sit there and say this as a white guy. Oh, you know, I think racism's a lot better today, blah, 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 blah. But then you sharing stories of even recently.
Right.
where you experience racism.
Yes.
And it's not like you're walking around with your pants halfway down your rear end and looking like somebody that might be trouble. You're better dressed than most businessmen I know. And yet it still happens. It's still out there.
Yeah.
And we still have to deal with it. Listen, there's not going to be racial equality and total racial justice until Jesus establishes it.
Until Jesus comes. Yeah.
Not that we don't work towards that.
Right.
We do.
Right.
But we have to be realistic about it as well. Okay, so you mentioned the Klan, and the Klan in their wildest dreams never even came close to killing as many black people.
Never.
As Planned Parenthood does on a daily basis. And so
never.
Let's talk about the Republicans once again, and I don't know whether Rand Paul was grandstanding or not last week, but the Republican Party controls the White House, controls the Senate, and controls the House of Representatives, still giving Planned Parenthood $550 million of our money, taxpayer money, every year. So is the Republican Party really the party of life? What do you make of that?
Well, I'll tell you what. They're not right now. If they were the party of life and they meant what they said, something would be different by now.
Right.
I think it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that Planned Parenthood received another payment, another dime, the moment the Republicans took over and gained control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. So I'm very disappointed. Now, what is encouraging is the president appointing justices to the bench, and we can see perhaps down the road Roe v. Wade being overturned. But back to Planned Parenthood, I'm surprised that Planned Parenthood has received another dime.
Yeah. Well, Trump, for his credit, has done as much as he can financially through the executive branch and through Health and Human Services, because they've cut out about $50 million, but that still leaves $500 million on the table.
Sir.
That all these so-called conservatives in Congress continue to give them, because in the Senate they're unwilling to invoke the cloture rule. They're unwilling. It's called the nuclear option, to go from 60 votes to 51. Even then, it would be difficult because there's two Republicans in the Senate who are rhinos at best.
Yeah.
And in the House, but force the vote. At least put some feet to your words and try to do something instead of playing games with it, because that's what they're doing.
And I don't hear them talking about it.
No.
Do you?
No. They never talk. Social issues don't make any difference anymore, Pastor Wooden. You need to wake up and smell the black coffee. So it's just, since the evangelicals lost their mojo, apparently, it's not that big of a deal. But it is to God, I'll tell you that.
It is to God, and he will judge our nation.
Yeah.
We're doing good right now. The economy, everything's going great. This one area can cause God to tank it all, because the Lord cares about these babies and even the mothers. You know, we talk about how safe abortion. I just posted something showing how mothers die from abortion.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Many women are killed through this procedure. So I hope, and I pray that if there's anybody listening, that you would put pressure on our Republican elected officials and say, hey, keep your word on this.
Yeah.
You made us a promise. This is part of the reasons why you got elected.
Hey, listen, now this will be controversial. You've got 92% in the last election of voting African Americans give the Democrat Party their vote.
Right.
It's just assumed.
Right.
And you've got all of us pro-lifers who largely, almost exclusively, give our vote to the Republican Party, who doesn't do anything to earn it either.
Right.
And so we're all suckers from my perspective.
Yeah. We're all suckers, and I tell you what it's beginning to look like. It's beginning to appear that at a certain level, whether you're Democrat or Republican, everyone's on the same team.
Yeah.
And they're all playing together. I think that's why they come after President Trump, so he's not one of them. And there should have been greater movement on this issue. And I'll be honest with you, I would have bet the farm, if I was a betting man, that there would have been movement by now.
Yeah.
So I'm very disappointed with the conservatives and the Republicans on this issue. I don't think Planned Parenthood should get another dime. And the president tried.
Yeah.
He tried. So perhaps.
Because I think if they got a vote, if they got a bill through, an amendment, whatever it is, to defund Planned Parenthood, I can guarantee you he'd sign it. He's said some stupid things in the past trying to praise some parts of Planned Parenthood and condemn other parts of Planned Parenthood. But if you send the guy a bill,
he'd sign it.
He's going to sign it. And you need to remember that. But these guys and gals in Congress who all say, hey, we're pro-life, but they end up not doing much. Now, on a state and local level, the Republican Party has done some awesome things.
They really have.
But at a federal level, they haven't. And you mentioned that about how the two parties up on the Hill are becoming more closely aligned all the time because they're all big government people for the most part.
Right.
I know a Christian, a gal who's a Christian, a radio broadcaster in upstate New York, who calls them both together. She calls it the Unibrow Party. You know, a unibrow, this person that's got one
big, it looks
like they have one big eyebrow, and that's what she says. They're the Unibrow Party, which I think is exactly right, because they're all big government, most of them, and they're all protecting their little party up there on the Hill.
Well, I tell you what, I pray that that something happens, because if they would get the bill to the president, and if he didn't sign it, he wouldn't be reelected.
Oh, he'd be toast.
And I'm hoping that that we put pressure on our elected officials to move with this, because we have to, Steve.
Yeah.
This slaughter cannot continue. And our taxpayers, taxpayer money going to it, I hate it. And I'll be honest, and I know I'm repeating myself, I'm stunned that we hadn't had greater movement on this issue. I would have assumed by now that Planned Parenthood by now would be defunded.
Right. You would assume that.
Not out of business, but defunded.
But listen, I mean, the reality there is you can have – the country may appear to have more cash in its pocket, which I'm going to challenge that assertion in a second, but it's still got the blood of babies all over its hands. And I don't think you're going to get away at the judgment seat with one versus the other.
No,
and by the way, as we do these different programs and tariffs and trade and all that kind of stuff, our national debt is still skyrocketing. It's $21 trillion and counting, and it's only going up.
Yes.
And that's, one more time, under a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and a Republican House, where they're all drunken sailors, which is probably disrespectful to
the
drunken
sailors.
Now, let's talk about how Upper Room handles abortion, because you guys go to the clinic.
Yes, sir.
Is it every Saturday?
Every Saturday.
And this is, for a lot of people, this is kind of controversial because, and we got about a minute, and then we're going to hit the break, and then we'll continue to talk about this in the last segment. But set up for us what happens at the clinic when the team and the folks from the Upper Room are there.
Well, when the Happy Warriors go down to the particular clinic where we are, we stand wherever we are legally allowed to stand, because we understand that we've got to obey all laws and all rules. The police have been called on us, I don't know, 50 times or something.
Yeah.
We've never been arrested. Even those officers whom they know, who are friends of theirs, who are for their causes, who are waiting for the call to come in, they still can arrest us because we obey the law. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on the other side.
I want to tell you about this because it's near and dear to our hearts, and we're succeeding.
That's right. They're succeeding, and lives are being saved. And if it makes you uncomfortable, your comfort versus a baby's life, that doesn't really have that math's not going to go in your favor. This is Steve Noble with the Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. We'll be right back.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's the Steve Noble Show. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. That's right. That's Foo Fighters. I'm sure you've never heard of those guys.
No, but I like that.
But that's a pretty strong message there. But we're all about strong messages, especially on Black and White Day with my slightly older brother from another mother, the Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And always great to see you. Always great to do this. And I'll get with Patricia, your able-minded and excellent assistant, and we'll get some more of these on the book. And I know you're busy. I'm busy.
No, but I'm excited about it.
But it's always great to do this, and we'll try to get back to a more regular schedule. But talking about an issue that's near and dear to your heart, and of course everybody at the Upper Room knows about the Happy Warriors.
That's
every Saturday. So let's kind of go into that world. You were going to say, where's that phrase come from, the Happy Warriors, showing up at one of the prolific abortion clinics here in Raleigh every Saturday. We'll talk about what goes down there. there and what has been happening and what God's been doing. But where does that phrase come from, happy warriors?
Psalms 144 and verse 15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it talked about how that our sons may be planted and how they will grow. And it gives a description of how we're fighting for life and fighting for family. And the people who engage in this fight, they are happy. Hence, happy warriors.
Amen.
So what we do, we go down and we stand where we're allowed. Because we're law-abiding.
Obeying the law.
Yes, sir. And we preach, pray, and sing. Now, we preach to the clinic, and we know when the car drives up real quickly. We have, I don't know, precious seconds.
Yeah, literally.
To try to get the attention of that mom, that dad, that grandmother, whomever it is, the abortion-intended individual, to get them to come over and talk to us. Now, what we, the interference is, the escorts who work there,
sure,
they cuss. They get in our face. They do all kinds of things. They play loud music. They've even built a fence. They've erected fences. We made them spend money.
Sure.
Build a fence and all kinds of things to block our being able to say to the person in a soft voice, hello, would you come and talk to us? You have options. Let the baby live. We're here for you. We will support you. As a matter of fact, we have resources. We will help you. Okay. Well, when you put a fence up and you play music, And you put umbrellas in our face, it goes from, can you come and talk to us, to, hey, you got to holler now,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
get their attention.
Yeah.
Once they get in, here's what we know. We know that they can hear us from the inside. Mm. So once they're in, we preach. And it's like chain preaching. One preacher preaches,
yeah,
then someone else, then someone else. We don't use profanity. We don't cuss. We don't swear. We don't do any of those things. But we declare the word of the Lord, and we reveal their evil plans.
Yeah.
I talk about how this thing is about money, and it's about murder. The abortions aren't free. We've seen people who didn't have the money. They got to call mom, dad, sister, brother,
right,
aunt,
right,
uncle, until they can get that money. And while they're trying to get the money, we're trying to get their attention. The engagement aspect of it, we stop in the midst of it and we pray. We pray to the God of the Bible. There are times when they will get in our face. And there have been times, I admit, that we got distracted talking to them, trying to convince them. And we got to,
you know, cars pulling in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've learned to try to, you see through them, and they've brought men down there. They bring big people and all kinds of things,
yeah,
to discourage,
yeah,
us. But it only serves to encourage us. Also at the church, we have it organized where our church mothers at times come. Mm. Now, can you imagine a young black girl or white girl, whatever, she's going there, she wants to have an abortion, and she looks over across, and there's a lady standing there who looks like her mama.
Yeah, wow.
Saying, come, baby, let me talk to you. Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah.
We've had ladies, I can't tell you how many, who were on the table, but because they heard the preaching, got off the table and said, I'm going to keep my baby. One girl came out one day, Steve, and she gave me a thumbs up. Man, I like to cry. I'm telling you, I couldn't.
Man, yeah.
Most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. So the engagement aspect, and there are other ministries who don't engage. We appreciate that, but that we would go down there and stand in the sun, and they give us precious. There's this little area where I stand, little rock area, it's crude. It's the finest pulpit I've ever preached in.
Amen.
It's my best pulpit. And yeah. I preached in some pretty nice places.
Yeah, sure.
And been on some pretty nice stages. But nothing compares to that place, that little mound of dirt.
Awesome.
Oh, man, you stand there, you're sweating, it's hot. But people change their minds. And we've gone from when we first
started. How long have you guys been doing this?
5 years.
5 years, every Saturday.
Every Saturday. When we first started, there were cars, there would be traffic jams in the street. People, they can't get in. They would violate the parking code. We even called the fire marshal and tried to get the fire marshal to come because they were in violation.
Too many cars, yeah.
But here we are today. You can drive a tractor trailer up in there,
wow,
and you won't hit anybody. Blindfolded, because it's gone from 20 to 30 cars on Saturday to 5,
wow,
and 6.
God.
And guess what they do now? They call other escorts who are not working, have them to come and drive in like they are.
Oh, yeah. So it makes it look like things are going well.
Look like things are going well. All of this because we won't quit. We're unrelenting, and we stand and we engage. They thought that these black people will show up for a time or two.
Sure.
And they'll get tired and they'll go right. on and do something else.
See you later.
Now they're wondering, what did we do
to deserve this pleasure?
This, to draw their fire. And we love them. Yeah. We love the escorts. We love the people who work in the clinic. But we're not going to pretend that this is a beautiful procedure, that is kind, that is loving. And here's what's sad. The only people who show love to that post-abortive mother when she comes out and she's gone through with the procedure is us.
Yeah, because the clinic workers.
Oh, my Lord.
I got your bill.
I got your money.
Got your money. Maybe we'll sell some of your kids' parts.
Hello.
And you're out of there. And
get out of here.
Listen, when you pull away from McDonald's, yes. the person behind the counter doesn't shed a tear.
No.
They gave you what you wanted. They took your money, yes, and you're out of there.
Next.
But next. And in this case.
Oh, we're there.
Because you know what just happened.
Yeah, we're there. And they're somewhat surprised because now it's a new. It's
yeah.
a new
language. Hey, what's done is done,
you know,
at that
done,
point.
But that mother is still for whom Christ died. That guy who's there with her.
Yeah.
Jesus loves him. So we're there for people, but mainly for babies. And I hope in listening that there are preachers listening to this. And I want to challenge every minister. Man, get up. Find an abortion clinic or call us. We'll tell you where we are.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it out on the air.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to give them free publicity. And join us in this fight. We know how Jesus feels about little children.
That's right.
And we know how Jesus feels about little children before the little children exit the womb. Because we see activity in Christ, with Christ and with John the Baptist and when
right.
Mary and Elizabeth came together.
Old Testament, New Testament.
Man,
it
Old
screams
Testament,
at you.
New Testament.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of the most rewarding fights. Sometimes, Steve, we're down there, we lose our voice.
Sure.
But here's the thing. If I lose my voice preaching at the clinic on a given Saturday, I may save a life. If the next day on Sunday my voice is not strong and I can't do my best, at worst they're going to say pastor wasn't on today, couldn't preach as good. But nobody
died.
Nobody dies.
No.
But down there,
amen.
See,
that's
lives
right.
are saved,
that's
man.
Right. I think one of your happy warriors chimed in here on Facebook Live. L.W. Monet.
Y'all, she's the best.
She said they even planted trees that have never grown, but the babies that we have saved are growing every day.
She is so right. And you got people like her. Guys like, that's a guy, we call him the machine gun. This guy, Carl Reef, maybe I shouldn't have given his name out. But this guy can just preach. There's just so many warriors. I'm the pastor, so I get a lot of the headlines.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. The Happy Warriors are made up of some of the greatest Christians. And Steve, I am so proud to stand on the front line
Amen,
of these
man.
People.
Yeah.
And I wish others would come and just see it. It's one thing to see what it looks like online, but to come and witness it in person. I have friends who love being prayed for, but they've never been down there to see what go on. And Prophetess Barbara Calloway, she lives in Dallas, Texas. She was in town for someone else. She came from preaching for them and came over one Saturday just to see what's taking place. And I tell you what, the atmosphere is one that no church service can compete with.
Wow.
Because we are saving, according to Proverbs 31 and verse 8, those who have no voice.
Well, in church, it's sanitized, right? It's safe.
Yeah.
And the darkness isn't obvious, but when you're at an abortion clinic, the darkness is obvious. And like with the Love Life Charlotte folks that are in Raleigh, North Carolina
yes.
now, we've had them
yeah.
on the show several times. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that were there that very first day, that kickoff day, at another abortion clinic.
Yes, sir.
That was the first time they had ever stood within 100 yards of an abortion clinic.
Right.
And you know the spiritual darkness exists when you're there. You know it. You're standing
there.
You realize you're sobered by the fact that you know what's happening behind closed doors. And then you realize, okay, this is a fight, and we need to be in it. And so that's why I tell people, I think just about every person that loves the Lord would say that they're pro-life. But you hear James somewhere out there on the street saying, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith
exactly.
by what I do.
Exactly.
So what do you say to the folks out there that are like, oh, well, if you're raising your voice and yelling at people trying to save babies, that's not very Christian of you. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I would ask them, what part of the Bible are they reading? Jesus Christ came and died for us. He died for us. He shed his blood for us. He did more than yell. And by the way, he yelled, "It is finished," to tell us while on the cross. desperate times call for desperate measures. Preaching is yelling.
Amen.
The Greek word is the herald. We herald God's truth.
Amen.
And I love it.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Upper Room, Church of God in Christ, Black and White Day on the Steve Noble Show. Always a pleasure, always a blessing.
Thanks
love
for
you.
Having me, man. Love you.
You're very welcome. Best. And we'll get some other dates scheduled in the future. And it's always a blessing. It's always great. Be encouraged, saints, that we are called to make a difference, not to hang out with each other in the church. That's important. But we live in a lost and dying world where babies are being murdered, and we should show up there. Let's take a page out of the Upper Room book and do our part. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, and God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon.